A very warm greetings to my fellow brothers and sisters out there, those of you who are watching, wherever you are. Now, today's video, I have a very special video to share with you, and, well, it's actually a personal conversion story, a personal testimony video. Well, not my testimony, but my friend's testimony, Renin, all the way from Kerala, India. Now, we had chatted a couple of months back, and that's where I got to hear about a story for the first time. And being so inspired and amazed by it, I felt like it's one that I actually wanted to share with each and every one of you. So, do let me know what your thoughts are on this video. God bless. Now, for those of you who are joining us at home, so I just want to say thank you so much, Renin, for taking the time out to be here today to get this interview done. So, as you've already known, the reason why I asked us to do this interview is because I was really amazed and fascinated by your own personal conversion story. And I think that it's one that's really important that, you know, every soul gets to know about. How we get to find Jesus through our sufferings. So without me doing any more talking, please share with us your story.
Okay, so I'll start from my childhood, because that's where my life began. Because as a teenager, you know, I was a messed up kid, because from my own childhood, I didn't have much great faith in Jesus, because I was born and brought up in Saudi Arabia. So there are not many, no Catholic churches, and, you know, it's a very strict country for any other religion to practice other than Muslim. So both my parents were very hectic workers. Like, my mom was a nurse, and even my dad was working for a company. So they were like fully, into work and stuff. And they didn't actually, except for my mom, my dad was not a very spiritual father, because I don't know, maybe from the way he grew up, like, he didn't get that faith. And but my mom was really religious, and she was closer with Mama Mary. Like, she would say the rosaries, and she would like actually take me and my brother, and she would be very strict with us for the rosary and all. But I didn't personally have faith in God. Like, okay, because of my mom, I would come and sit and say the rosary. That's it. And when I entered the teenage years, my life like actually started getting messy, because I used to dance, and I also play keyboard. So in my school, after I was like going for all those dance shows, the fame became like really popular. I was like very popular in school. So, you know, the pride started happening in me, and all these attention from world, especially from the males, and also my girl besties. They would be like appreciating me, and, you know, many would want to be with me because of my fame. And that actually increased my pride, and I lost my own identity in God. And I was falling slowly into great, great sin. Like, I went with all kind of situationships and relationships, like, due to attention and love that I was seeking, which God could provide me. But I didn't actually go to him. By the age of 19, I just met with an accident, a very big accident. And this is where my life actually changed. Like, I was in my college. I came to India, and we as a family, we got settled here. And it was a very big accident. I even lost my uncle, who was my dad's brother, dad's eldest brother. And during that time, I actually didn't question God about like why it happened to me. I don't know what happened with me. Like, I was very calm with it in my mind. I didn't ask God. And while I was in ICU, my mom just came up with the rosary. Like, she gave me a rosary, and she was like, just keep it with you and just keep praying the rosary. And I have no idea how to say a rosary, because I don't know the starting prayers, and I don't know the ending prayers. I just know the Our Father and Hail Mary, these two prayers to say just the rosary. So I would just hold the rosary in my hand, and while I was on the ICU bed, I would just simply say Our Father and Hail Marys. And my mom also suggested me to say the Hail Holy Queen prayer too. Like she was like, just keep telling it continuously. And I would always say the rosary. Like once I started saying the rosary, I felt like a power in me, because whenever I would go for scanning and all, the nurses would take the rosary away from me and I would like start crying. I was like, where is my rosary? And I don't know from where that connection happened. I myself was shocked, like, why am I so connected with the rosary all of a sudden? And one day while I was in ICU bed, while I was praying the rosary, I just slept off. And this is where my life changed. Like one incident took place, and I was actually sleeping, and you know, a bright light. What bright light was hitting my eyes? Just imagine if a torch is like directly on your eyes when you're sleeping. You just suddenly open your eyes because it's too bright for your eyes to handle. And it was like that for me. And I was just sleeping, and this light is hitting on my face, and I was just opened my eyes, and I could see like it is the bright light was only around my bed, like around my surroundings, and I could see all the other patients who are like, you know, sleeping and just beyond being on their ICU bed. And towards them, the lights are very dim, like very a yellowish light, kind of dim light. But only in around my bed was too bright. And I was like, just like this, like, why is this so bright around my bed? And I just looked towards my right, and I was like, from where is this light is coming? And I was just looking. And then suddenly towards the left, I could see that the light is like very strong. The power, okay, and I just slightly turns towards the left light, and you know, my eyes like slowly shattering, like, you know, it was too bright for me to even open my eyes, and I couldn't, for a moment I couldn't see because it was too bright. And I was just seeing this white like a widely dressed woman and a boy. I could say he must be like 4 years old, just a child. And I'm not understanding what is this, who is this woman and who is this child. So I'm just looking at them with this closed eyes. And from this woman's face, the bright is too bright that I still remember I can't see her face because it's so bright for me to even look at her. But yeah, but with from the child, I could like see him because he was so beautiful. And he was just looking at me, and I kept looking at the child because from the lady, it was too bright for me to even look at her face. So I was just looking at the child, and he had this...
Sorry to stop you here about the child. So did he have blonde hair? Or...
Yeah. So he had this curly golden brown hair. Okay. So as I'm from Kerala, it's normal for us to see... You don't see these kind of, you know, brown colored hair children in our state. So, and this child was like... bit more fair, very fair, and he was like not from this place. I understood that. I was like, okay, this child is not from Kerala, and I was like just thinking so dumbly, like I'm not understanding who is this child is. And he was just looking at my face, and I was just admiring at his beauty, like I can't express. He's the most beautiful child I've ever seen, and he had this golden brown curly hair, very curlyish hair, and I was just admiring, you know. In my mind, I was like, okay, his hair is so beautiful. I'm just admiring them. And then when I was like lying on the bed, I could see the hand of this this lady's right hand. Okay, so I had my femur bone broken, and I also had my ribs broken and my wrist too. You can see the mark in my hand, and I also had my spinal broken. Like from here, it was all damaged. And my lungs were also collapsed. So that time I was in a very serious situation because the doctors told me that due to my lungs collapsed, I couldn't take my own breath. So they had kept me in an oxygen cylinder. So my life was basically on that oxygen because I couldn't take my own oxygen. So they kept me in observation. So they asked me that if she's not improving, we will have to shift her to the ventilator stage. And the doctors told me that would be a very hopeless situation. It is almost like she's going to die. And my mom started crying. So everyone was praying for me during this period of time. And that's when this miracle took place for me. And I could see this woman's, like, then slowly I could see her face. Like, you know, like not very clearly because of the light, but I could see her. Like, she was sad. Like, you know, like how a mother feels for a child. That's how I said. Like, with love, she's so sad for me. And she was, you know, with her right hand, she's touching my broken leg. Like, I had steel in my leg, and I just 5 days back, I just had my surgery. So I was with my plastic and all. And she was just, you know, patting on my hand like this. And with her, and in her left hand, she was holding a child. Like, her the mother's left hand was the baby child. And with her right hand, she was, you know, just patting my broken leg. And this is the only thing that I saw. And I was just admiring them. And I just slept off. And I still didn't understand that it was Mama, Mary and child. I'll tell you the story, how I understood it. And after this incident, within 2 days, my lungs got improved. Okay. My lungs got really improved. And the doctors told me that they can take me for the spinal operation, because I was a bit stabilized. And during my spinal operation, the doctors told me that, you know, these are not like your hand and leg surgery. These are very critical and it's really dangerous. So you have to be very prayerful. You pray to your God. And they told me this is a very risky one. So we only have like a 60 to 70, 75% of hope in this, because the rest is in hands of God. And after 2 days, I went into the operation room theater, and the operation was done. After this, once I was back to my conscious, I could feel the pain in my back. And the doctors told my parents that we are not going to show you because she will be in extreme pain. So we'll shift her to the ICU. You can meet her next morning. So that day I didn't meet my parents after my operation. And while I was in ICU, the pain started coming in my body because I was out of anesthesia. The pain was so unbearable. It was like, you know, how just imagine that 10 knives are kept in the table and someone is hitting you with those 10 knives all at the same time. It was that kind of pain. Like, I have never felt that type of horrible pain in my life. It was just hitting my back and I was crying. I was so much in pain. And due to the anesthesia, my lips were like, you know, like glued together. It just got flipped up. I don't know, maybe due to heavy medicines in my body. So I couldn't open my mouth and cry. Since it is like, you know, how someone is glued your lips together, I can't open my mouth and cry out loud. So I was just crying from inside. So the nurses are asking me, open your mouth and cry. And I'm like, I can't even explain them that I can't open my mouth. And then they understood that my lips are all dried up. So they took a tissue and, you know, how, like, just I just imagined, like, you know, how Jesus on the cross, when he asked for that he was thirsty, the soldier just took some wine and just placed it on his mouth. And it seemed like that for me, because I was in a very bad state. And this nurse just took the tissue and then she placed it in my mouth. Like, she just wiped it up. And then with that moisture, my lips got open and I started crying. I was like, don't hold me. I'm in so extreme pain. I don't want anyone to touch me. I just was just crying out so loud. And in this time, while I was in that kind of horrible pain, it is not a vision, but inside my heart, I can say, like, I could see the Jesus crucified on the cross. Like, I was seeing it, but not in a vision or something, but inside me, I could see him. And in this extreme pain, I could see that he was just, this image is on my mind, and the face of Jesus is just on my face. And, you know, for the first time, you know, the horrible things I have done in my life, like the past, just came and hit me. And it was horrible. I was like, oh man, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a sinner. And I was just keeping on crying. Even in that pain, I was, you know, asking God for forgiveness. And I told him that, you know what, Jesus, I don't even deserve to be alive. I deserve to die, actually, because that type of past I had, a very horrible one. And I kept on asking God for forgiveness. And I just told him, you know, even if I lose my soul, it's okay. because I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve your mercy, and I don't deserve your love. I'm very unworthy to be even called to be His. And I was just crying in that pain. Like, I'm not praying this prayer in mouth, but from within me, I'm like seeing my sins, I'm seeing my past, and I'm just crying out loud with this pain and everything. I just cried and cried, and I was just like, God, remember me in your kingdom. I don't know, it just automatically came in my mind, like, just remember me in your kingdom. And then I was weeping, and I just slept off. So after this, I guess I just slept for like 2 to 3 hours. And then my nurse came, the ICU nurse, she came and she just called me for having dinner. And miraculously, I didn't even have a single pain in my back after that. Like, after that repentance of mine, I didn't have a single pain in my back. Yeah. So my nurse came, and then she called me from my sleep to have dinner. And then suddenly I realized that I didn't even have a single pain in my back. Like, after that repentance of mine, I slept off, and then there is not a single pain. You know, I was like in extreme pain, and then God didn't give me any pain during that time. And I myself was in shock. I was like, why am I not feeling that extreme pain? Because I was so much in pain, and there is not a single pain. Okay, at least a less pain should be there now in my body. But there was nothing. I was just completely normal. And on the next day, the wall, department of doctors and nurses came to meet me, all the neuroscience department. Because they told me, like, during the operation time, that only the 70% of success they would give me, because the rest is on God's hand. Because they wanted to see if because it is a spinal, there is, like, you know, all those kind of nervous system connected to our brain and body and all. So if by mistake they cut a small vein, I would be paralyzed. And the another thing the doctors told me, that if the bone that was broken in my spine, if it was a bit upper or a bit downer, I would be paralyzed for life. But it was rightly in the middle one. Yeah, it did come a bit upper or down, but in the right, like in the right place, it just happened by God's grace. So the next morning, the doctors came, and they tested for like a few of my sensations in my hand, legs, and all. So they were like, okay, the operation is successful because you're normally okay. And they were telling me, you know what, you have to get back to dancing, you have to get back to playing and all. And they were like, and you know, the doctor started crying, because they were like, you're a very strong woman, okay? And they're like, you're just a teenager, and we haven't seen this kind of kids. Like, they would not adjust with us, they would not cooperate with us with all these extreme pain. And you had 2-3 surgeries on your body already. And they were like really happy about me. And I still remember they asked me to make me sit down, like, you know, after being on bed 1 month, they asked me to just lift her up and just make her sit on the bed and let her put her legs on the floor. And my ICU doctor, who is I don't know how to say the right word, who would, like, you know, who is who take care of me, yeah, he was under my care, yeah, he was under the care of mine. So the ICU doctor came, and he was like, okay, Renin, let's let us sit down, let us see if you can sit properly. And he told me that just because you're like lying on the bed for like 1 month, you would feel dizzy, and the patients would show, you know, like they would feel vomit also, and they would also feel very, really dizzy. So if these signs are coming to you, let us put you back to the bed. So it's okay. So I was like, yeah, doctor, it's okay. Let's see. And he was just, you know, slightly lifting up the bed, and I would like come forward. And he's like, you know, he's panicking. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, doctor, I'm fine. Just let us put me normally, like how you would sit. And he was like, okay, but still, you know, the signs will show up, so we have to be careful. And he was panicking, but I was like strong. I don't know what strength was in me. I don't know what strength, but it was God's strength in me. Now I understand that it's God's strength. And he completely lifted me up. And he was like, "Are you feeling dizzy?" And I was like, "No, I'm completely normal. I'm not having any other signs, and I don't even feel like vomiting or something like that." And you know, he for the first time after 1 month on bed, I sat down and I put my both the legs on the floor. Like, you know, that precious moment, like all my pride just came down, and I was suddenly humbled because I could understand that even if I have to work, even if I have to dance and play keyboard, God should think, God should will for it, even for those small things. And I was so happy, and that, you know, I was like, "God, I know, I'm sorry for my pride." And my parents came running towards me because they were really happy to see me sitting on bed, and they were crying. And the doctor in the ICU, he suddenly came and, you know, took hold of me, and he started crying. And I also started crying because I was also overwhelmed with so much of happiness and love. And, you know, he just came and he put his hands towards him, and he was like, "You know, you're a miracle child. You know, you're God's miracle. You're literally like an angel." And I was like, I was like, "Okay, only I know what a miserable sinner I am, and he's calling me an angel." And I also started crying, and I told him, like, "Thank you for all this care." You know, he was very kind, and he was also a Catholic. So, you know, sometimes he would say, "Jesus is with you." And that would give me strength. And suddenly, when he saw my improvement, like a sudden improvement, like, just last night I had my spinal surgery, and suddenly this no pain and no signs were showing up. So they were, even the doctors and nurses were shocked, and even the nurses started crying when they saw me just sitting up. And they all hugged me and they called me a miracle child. And after this, the doctors all left, and I was back to my bed. You know, suddenly the same light that I saw before, the same light was again coming around my bed. And again, my eyes were like, you know, with that light, it was closing. And I could feel a power in my body. And, you know, I was shivering. And I started crying. I started crying in happiness, like a sudden joy. Like, I never felt that kind of peace, love and joy in my life like that. And I was crying with happiness, and I was shivering. And, you know, suddenly something in me is saying, "This is the Holy Spirit." Like, I never understood what is Holy Spirit meant, because as a messed up teenager, I could only know, okay, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I don't know who this Holy Spirit is, because I never, you know, had a relationship with the Holy Spirit before in my life. But at that moment, I understood that this is the work of Holy Spirit. Like, something I understood. You know, a certain span of knowledge was hitting my brain. And then at that right moment, something made me realize that that lady and child was Mama Mary and baby Jesus. I was in utter shock. I was like, "Oh, yes, yes, it is Mama Mary and this baby child, yes." And I was in so much of joy. Even now when I say, I'm feeling that joy, and I'm just still shivering because of what I experienced that day. And, you know, during the evening, my mom came to me, my parents came to me, and, you know, suddenly they're just walking, okay, they're just walking, and I'm like so happy, and I'm like so much in joy, and I'm waiting for them. And they just, both of them came to me, and they're like, "What did you apply to your face?" This is the first question they asked me. And I'm like, "What did I apply on my face? I didn't apply anything." And like, you're glowing. It's like, you're so much, your face is so much in bright. You know, you're glowing like a sun. And I was like, "I'm glowing like a sun." And she was like, "I don't know, from your face, a light is coming." And I was like, "Okay." And then I told my mommy, "Mom, I want to say you something, that, you know, I met Mama Mary and baby Jesus." So she had a relationship with Mama Mary, so, and she would always pray for my conversion to her. And she understood that, you know, this accident would bring a change in my life. It was her. And, you know, she was not in a shock when I said that I met, like, you know, I had a vision of this. And she was like, "Yeah, I know." She just told me, "I know she would come to you, because you have always been hers from the moment you were born. I would always consecrate you to her, to Mama Mary." And yeah, then this is one incident that, you know, the what I would say, the gift of repentance happened in my life, what God provided me. Like, I had this very stubborn heart. And as a teenager, I would also, you know, get drunk with alcohol and all. I had that kind of party lifestyle in my teenage years. And all this kind of worldly things, all this fame, attention, everything that God has commanded us not to do, I have done everything. And it is God's mercy that I'm still alive and I'm talking to you and all to all who is hearing me. And this is my miracle. And this is God's miracle. And this work in me. Yeah, it's work of mercy in me. Yeah. This is it. Okay. My father, he was in shock because, you know, he couldn't believe it, actually what happened. And I would say in that time, he was in a very bad stage because he lost his brother. And, you know, everything was on his head. And but after, I guess, after 2-3 months, when he got completely normal, actually, at that time, I told him my real experience, like clearly what happened. And he was just crying and he was just happy. But still, my dad's faith was not, you know, improving much like that, because he himself didn't have a personal experience that way. It was just me. So God actually picked me up first from my family. And I would say how the rest of my family members converted. And after my accident, it took me like 6 to 7 months to actually go for confession. Because I didn't know what this Holy Mass meant, all the holy sacraments, the importance of sacraments in my life. And after the accident, within like 5 to 6 months, I just found a Divine Mercy image on my bedroom, like in my bedroom. It was there in my cupboard. I guess maybe I got it from my parish or something. So I don't know. I was just admiring this Jesus, and I kept it him in my like. In my room. And I got a prayer book too, and from that book suddenly I just got the Divine Mercy chaplet. Okay. And I haven't heard about this Divine Mercy chaplet before, but I don't know, something in me, I was like, okay, let me pray the Divine Mercy chaplet. And you know, I would be on my knees and I would keep on saying the Divine Mercy chaplet like for like 2 to 4 or 5 times. I would like back and cry for God's mercy at that time, because you know what I've done in my past. And I was asking for his forgiveness. And due to the Divine Mercy chaplet, for after like 5 years, I'm going for my first confession. Like, I went for my confession. I had a strength to go for a confession. It was very hard for me, but I still remember I wrote down all the sins that I have committed in my life. For like 2 to 3 pages, like I'm writing it down and I'm asking God to just show me what I've done. And I still remember I had like a lot of plenty of sins, and I wrote it down, and I was very ashamed because of what I've done to Jesus. And I was just looking at him. It is my sins that was, you know, that was there as his wounds. And with the Divine Mercy chaplet, I went for confession for the first time after 5 years, and that changed me. I don't know how to say, the some kind of darkness in my life, it just left after I came out from the confession after 5 years. And I was just crying and weeping. I was just sitting in the, and you know what, there is another miracle. The church that I went for confession after 5 years, there is a relic of Saint Faustina. Like, where we do the confession, on that, in that area itself, there is a relic of Saint Faustina, and there is an image of Divine Mercy. And I didn't understand this. After like, I guess maybe after 1 month, I understood that is a relic of Saint Faustina, and I was in utter shock. I was like, it is her who brought me to confession, it is her intercession. And I, you know, I started becoming really close with Saint Faustina. And I wanted to know more about her story, like how, why did God choose her. And I also bought her Divine Mercy diary, and that changed my life. You know, how she was a very humble child, and you know how God chose her for his divine mercy for sinners like me. And you know, one God that changed my life is this which God gave to Saint Faustina: the greater the sinner, the greater is my mercy for him. And that is an example of my life from my past, and that is the power of Divine Mercy Chaplet. Like, from that day onwards, every day I would say the Divine Mercy, and now I've kept myself a Divine Mercy image. Even that is a miracle, that image that God made. It is through the intercession of Saint Joseph. So you know, all these beautiful things are happening in my life after my conversion. And then I would always say the Holy Rosary too. Then I started, you know, developing my relationship with Mama Mary. And I also consecrated myself to her towards Immaculate Heart. And that brought another grace in my life. Like, you know, consecrating yourself to the most Immaculate Heart of Mama Mary. It's very powerful, and I would recommend all to do that. And it just brought me so much of graces. And due to that grace, I started going for daily masses. Like, every morning I would go for daily mass. That's how my day starts. I start my day with Jesus. Yeah. So this is, you know, this is the graces the heaven has offered me. And it is still offering me more and more every day. I would want to say them that, you know, just put your whole trust in God's mercy, because that's his mercy is what changed me. Like, it is not me, like, it is not our work to gain his mercy, but God is always waiting for his children. Like, you know, he has so much mercy to give for us youth, like, especially in this kind of new generation. We kids are so messed up. So as messed up we are, we have to be so much, like, we have to trust in God's mercy. Like, trust his mercy. That is what even the image says. Just trust in him. I trust in you, Jesus. I trust in your mercy. When you keep saying this prayer itself, the grace is happening in your soul. When you, you know, keep saying that you trust in your mercy. So I would say that, you know, repent before it's too late. You know, because you never know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to. This is my one life lesson. Because still, though, it is his mercy and love for me that I'm still alive today, and that I didn't die that day. If I would have died that day, I would be perished. I would be in hell. But at least now I hope, like, you know, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm trying to lead a holy life until my death. So I would suggest all my friends to repent before it's too late, and, you know, just prepare yourself for the second coming of Jesus, because it is very soon, it is happening. So yes, keep paying for the mercy. Yeah.